lying still neath the flowers on a hill. Without you, Lord, they just wouldn't grow. Like the lost sheep astray, I'd be wandering each day. Without you, I'd have no place to go.
I can vision a tree with no branches. I can vision a church with no pew. I can vision a well with no water.
Precious Lord, be my guide, ever walking by my side. When I'm weak, give me strength to go on. In the darkness of night, hold my hand, be my light. Guide my steps till I'm safely at home.
I can vision a tree with no branches. I can vision a church with no pew. I can vision a well with no water.
I cannot picture me without you. Last week we had a message on being God conscious. This week I want to explain trusting God. Is it about your salvation? Is it about what's going on in this world? Can we really trust God? Does God really mean what he said in his word? We of Christianity who study the word are most privileged because we know how it's all going to end. We may not know all the details, but we know how it's going to end. Hallelujah. For those of us who are born again, we got a smile on our face, knowing our future is bright. How many of you watch what's going on down south? The confusion is unbelievable. Even Obama today declared, I heard him, it's like they have a firing squad in a ring called Ukrainian firing squad. They stand in a circle, shooting each other. That's interesting. And they're declaring in 12 years, we're all going to be dead, so we better stop having kids. And another thing they declared is nations will be migrating from one place to another, trying to stay above water as my ice caps melt. 20 years ago, Al Gore prophesied New York is going to be underwater by this time. Where is Al Gore now? Sitting on top of a mountain somewhere? I don't know. But it's interesting how things work. Everybody's confused, except for those who lean on God. How many of you watch the Middle East? For the last maybe 4 or 5 years, the Ayatollah of Iran blamed Israel that they don't get any clouds. Iran has had a drought for the last 2 decades. No rain whatsoever. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Ayatollah proclaimed, let everybody direct their curses on Israel and on America. The next day it started to rain. Did you guys see the floods? They have 28 states in that nation. 21 of them are basically underwater. Cars and trucks and houses are all flowing in one direction. Unbelievable destruction. God keeps his word. Those who curse you, I will curse. So, can we trust his word? Watch what's going on. You better believe it. We can trust his word. What's going to happen? Can we trust what we see? Can we trust our salvation, which he gave us at the cross of Calvary? Where do we stand in all of this? There's a lot of people on the internet who are watching these things, and they seem to be seesawing back and forth, operating through emotions and operating by what they see on TV. I operate by what I see in this word. I know what's going to happen. And for me, it's going to be fun. All the way through, I'll watch as it happens. These things that were predicted so long ago. Very interesting. Things are now happening in the Middle East. We know that Russia is parked at the doorsteps of the Golan Heights. Very interesting place. A lot of oil there. We know that Erdogan of Turkey is losing confidence by the people that he is supposed to rule. And we know that America is backing away from selling the military equipment. What's happening? The signs of the times are telling us, hey, we're stepping into an accelerated time where God will start to move. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you enjoying it? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Are you God-conscious or self-conscious? Are you more worried about who's going to win the hockey game tonight or tomorrow or yesterday? Or about Jesus coming back? What's your priority? I know what mine is. I watched the last minute of the last game of the Stanley Cup. The last minute of the last game. That's my priority when it comes to hockey. But I got a few pet things. Don't worry about that. So where is God now? Can we trust him? We're going to go through some scriptures today where you can look at yourself and look at what's happening in the world. And we can put the dots on the line. And God is precise. We may have a timeline that is not quite up to God's timeline, but that doesn't make any difference. He'll do as he determined. Hallelujah. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, O God, for you, that you keep your word, Lord. You do not lie. You do not change. And you will bless us today by opening our hearts to what your word teaches us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. That's an interesting scripture. God has always been faithful. Since the world began, there's always been enough for the human race to sustain themselves, except when judgment time came at the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, and different places where God had to deal with sin. But throughout history, God was faithful to the unbeliever and the believer. The heathen were able to harvest corn just like the Israelis. They were able to drink water. There was water enough. There was food enough. There's air. Everything is there for them. God is faithful. He is not a human being that breaks his promises. So he has promised us he will keep this thing going all the way until the end. So I want to ask the question. It says, my word which goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void. What he has spoken, that will happen. Remember when Ezekiel 30 and 38, he proclaimed that there's going to be a war in the Middle East by Gog and Magog. The word went forth, and it's going to happen. How many of you have heard of the Battle of Armageddon? All of you, all of us here, raise your arms. Battle of Armageddon. I never heard of it because there's never going to be a battle there. God, they're going to be gathered there. I got this from Jack Hibbs and Mr. Safati. I never really thought of it. There's not going to be a battle. They're going to be gathered there when Jesus comes back, and then he's going to simply destroy them. That's not a battle. That's a slaughter. Oh, that's going to be great to watch. We're coming back. We're coming back with him to see all that. And he has determined that, and that will happen. He has spoken that. So where do we stand? How do we understand God? I want to give you a scripture on how to better understand your life, your salvation, the things that are going to happen in the future. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 46 in verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. I want to get back to this. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I want to explain something here, declaring the end from the beginning. God is not in time. We are in time. So how does God know everything? Because he starts at the end and goes to the beginning. So he knows exactly what's going to happen. He determined your salvation. He started from the end to the beginning. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he already knew that you are going to finish the race perfect, pure, and holy. Why? Because the end is there. When he speaks something, he already has determined the end, because the end to him is as it's happening now. He sees everything. Here he declares, I do things backwards. It's from the end to the beginning. So if you ever have a problem of understanding situations in your life, remember, God has been there. He's already checked it out, and you're going to be okay, because he's going to determine the process. You just have to walk in harmony with him and let him work it out with you, declaring the end from the beginning. Are we going to have a revival? Of course, because he has proclaimed it. It's going to happen. It's in the book. There's going to be an end time revival. The latter rains are going to come just like the former rains did. So we can look forward to that. The problem is with our timing. We think it has to be now. And when things don't go good, Lord, the rapture. Please, please, the rapture. I shout, please, the rapture, when I'm in my utopia, when I'm at my best. I want to go home. Never mind when it goes bad. So regardless what, I love the scripture in Psalm, in the last book of Psalm, where it says, the Spirit and the bride say, what? Come, Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, we're going to work out what he has determined already. He knows the end. We don't have to sing the song, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." We know what's going to happen. We don't have to work hard to hold the fort because it's being held for us. Hallelujah. So, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times. So what is written will happen. Don't worry about the Muslims, by the way. They're just a smokescreen to keep everybody eyes pinned on them while Satan is working, trying to fulfill his plan. They're going to be taken care of. God's plan will succeed. I want to ask a question. How do we operate in this? Are we depressed? Are we looking at the signs of the times? I wish it would be better. Sometimes I do. I have to admit, I sometimes get depressed when I watch what's going on down south, when I watch what's going on in Ottawa, when I come to town and the gas prices have gone up by 20 cents. So that's going to save the environment, guys. Let's just pay more for gas. We're going to save our environment sure as the sun is going to come up. What an idiot. This guy must be an idiot, born an idiot. Because who could conjure up a thought like that? Putting up the price of gas will take care of the environment. That's how their thinking is. Totally irrational. Okay, how do we react to this? I did with a few swear words, of course, but that's okay. God understands me. So Acts 4 in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. How many of us have boldness when we speak about what we believe in? How many of us truly trust what God did for us? We had a guy giving his testimony, how his mother jumped up and down for joy just after burying her son. Why was she jumping up and down for joy? Because for the first time in her life, she realized she was going to go to heaven. Isn't that something? God invaded her heart, filled her with the joy of the Lord, and she couldn't contain it. That's how it works when a person realizes that his future home is in heaven. That's what happens to a guy. You're like King David. You're jumping up and down for joy. So it says here, the place was shaken as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, as they spoke the word of God with boldness. Can we do that? We try to do that. That's interesting. We preach the word of God across Canada, which is very interesting. How these things work if you set your heart to it. I had an interesting dream. I don't have dream a lot, but I had an interesting dream the other day. And see if you can figure out what it means. There was this trailer, house trailer type, was pulled up to my house and parked there. And I came out and I looked. There was a hole in it, enough for a person to squeeze through. And I looked in there, and guess who? And it stank like a chicken coop. The ammonia of a chicken house, an old chicken barn. And it was inside, there were Hutterite and Mennonite people. And I was coaching them out. Come on out, come on out. Some of the men came out, but the women didn't. So what did I do? I grabbed a saw, and I made the hole bigger, and I took a big stainless steel basin of clear, clean water, and I pushed it in. I said, drink, wash yourselves. Some of them looked at it with disdain, and others went and drank and started washing themselves. What does that mean? I have a feeling I know what it means. We're presenting clean, fresh water to the religious people, and they're starting to take little zips of it. Pretty soon, they'll wash themselves and the power of God will hit them. Okay, are we confident in our work? Yes, I am, because God has determined it. My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what I set it out to do. Listen to Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6. I want to talk about our salvation here, your salvation. Those of you who are listening and watching on YouTube, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Remember, God works from the back to the beginning. He has begun a good work in you. He finished your salvation. Are you a child of God? Are you born again by the Spirit of God? Then don't worry. You'll get to your end, hallelujah, where you'll be perfect, holy, pure in the sight of God. For now, we're about halfway there because we see in part and we do in part. But when Jesus comes, we'll be perfected, body, soul, and spirit. So how do I do to, what do I do to get to understand this better, to get the joy of the Lord? Get into the Word, hallelujah. And then it'll rest in your heart when the Apostle Paul says, I'm confident he is going to perform that good work that he started in me. Why? Because he started from the end and is coming to the beginning. I'm just working it out. I'm just walking it out. I already know what my end is. I am fighting from victory and not for victory. Victory is mine. Hallelujah. This is what God is trying to tell us. If you're depressed, if you're not quite sure of your salvation, get to know Jesus. He'll open your heart and mind. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 9. He has made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. Does God ever speak to you? If you're a child of God, he does. The only reason you haven't heard him is because you don't pay attention. It's like a mother speaking to her child, a father speaking to his child. They start right when they're born. They start talking to them. This is how God speaks to us when we're born again, the moment. And even before that, he speaks to us. Have we heard him? Have we learned to discern his voice? Very interesting. Most Christians don't have a clue what it is to hear the voice of God. Why? Because of their teaching, some of them, many of them. Because they don't pay attention, because they don't read the Word of God. It says, God will make known to you the mystery of his will. A mystery. Even the secrets that nobody knows, he will show to you that he has determined for you. God is a good God. He loves you. And he wants you to understand that he has you in mind. And he wants you to be at peace and at ease. Not too long ago, I was listening to a guy who was declaring what sin is. And we always put sin at, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't look at women, don't watch pornography. He said, no, sin is even worse than that. Sin is worry. Sin is anxiety. Sin is not trusting God. Sin is being afraid. Afraid of what? God is in control. He said, and then he said, these sins bring sicknesses to your body and can determine whether you will perform what God has available for you. Because if you get sick, you cannot do what God wants you to do for him. So let the Lord work out this incredible joy and peace by you trusting him. He will make known unto you the mystery of his will. Yes, we'll go through times of testings. That's okay. That's our lot. But don't worry about it. God is at the other end. He's been there waiting, and we just have to walk through it. Listen to this one, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Are you truly saved? Once saved, always saved. And we hear a lot of arguments about that. The best one I've heard was a question to Pat Robinson. Are we once saved, always saved? And he said, you know what? People shouldn't ask that question. People should ask the question, how is your life? Are you attracted to Jesus? Are you living for the Lord? That'll prove itself whether you're saved or not. And the Bible will back that up. It backs that up. How is your life today? Never mind when you're 4 years old and you accepted Jesus. How is your life today? What are you interested in? Are you attracted to God or are you attracted to the world? That will determine who you are in Christ and where you stand. But here's a good, I love this scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What does sealed mean? We all know what sealed means. We're farmers. All our women know how to can, and it was the older ones. What knows what it means to seal a jar of pickles? Those pickles stay nice until you open the jar. You can leave for 100 years. They'll stay good. And this is what God did. He sealed us unto when? When we'll be changed. Hallelujah. Unto the day of redemption when he'll come for us. I'm sealed, I'm kept. I am being thankful for that. That's what brings joy to my life because God has shown it in my heart that I am on the okay train. I'm going home to glory. That's going to be an awesome day. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 18, that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He says that your eyes of understanding, being enlightened, means you'll start seeing things. You don't go down this path with tunnel vision. You start looking in different directions because you trust God. I have allowed myself to get into situations which a lot of Christians wouldn't get into because they don't trust it. But I trusted God that'll get me through. Yes, I maybe should have stayed away from some, but I sure had some interesting experiences where God showed me how things work on the other side. God is good, but he also shows you how things work on his side. If you understand the other side a little bit, you'll understand why this God wants us to be full of joy and full of peace and to be bold because we have to decree the things that are happening. I remember not too long ago, we were at prayer meeting and they were predicting floods because we had a lot of snow. And this one guy stood up and decreed, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're going to have a very snow melt this year. The other day I was thinking, you should have said, not that slow. It's been agonizing slow, the melt. It's been agonizing slow. But that's what we asked for. That's what we got. So if it takes till May, sorry. That's God's timetable. But your eyes of understanding are enlightened. You start to see how God thinks. He wants you to decree things into the spirit realm. He wants you to pray against evil weather. He wants you to pray for good crops. He wants you to pray for your health. Pray for one another. Lay hands on each other so that we can stand with each other's problems. This is why we are the body of Christ, to uplift, to help, and to increase. So God wants your understanding to be opened. Now listen to this. For those of you on TV or on the internet think we're going to have these floods, the polar bears are all going to die off. Did you know that the polar bears have multiplied incredibly in the last 30 years? The warmer it gets, the more they have to eat. That's what it is. We need global warming, especially in this northern hemisphere. Hallelujah. It says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, there's going to be seed time, there's going to be harvest, there's going to be cold, there's going to be heat, there's going to be summer, there's going to be winter. Day and night shall not cease. So all of those guys, false prophets, who predict all those calamities, just go to this word. God has determined it. Will it happen? Yes, it will. Hallelujah. He, the creator of the universe, determined it. The end from the beginning. So there's going to be for effect summer. There's going to be for effect winter. And cold, it could have left out as far as I'm concerned. But here he said it. Cold and heat, day and night, it shall not cease. That's our God. We enjoy everyday life because we know it's going to go on till he comes. Nothing's going to change drastically except for the signs of the times which you see. We can watch it on YouTube. We can watch the weird things that are starting to take place all over the earth. But as a rule, things are going to be like they were until Jesus comes back. Now, there is one more scripture, Zechariah. Chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore sayest thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn you unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He mentions it twice. Turn to me, and I will turn to you. That's a good deal, isn't it? You do not have to run through the ends of the earth looking for God. All he says, turn to me. I will turn to you because he loves us. He created us and he wants us to turn to him, not just believe in him as an historical figure that is sitting up there waiting to bring down a hammer. He's as the father of the prodigal son, waiting, watching that road, having his binoculars out. And the moment he sees a dot in the horizon, he raises his binoculars. Ah, there's my son coming. Hallelujah. He just doesn't sit there and wait. No, he gets up and he runs full blast to his son or to his daughter. You're coming home. Hallelujah. I've been waiting for you. This is the God we have. He loves you. Just turn to him. Give him your life. Give him your heart. And you will find joy and peace and boldness that you've never experienced before. So let the Lord open your heart to this and bless you. Amen.
Just like a bird who flew away in autumn to a land warmer days until the chill of winter has passed. But I can see a ray of sunshine that tells me it's about time for the holy God to return at last.
He may come with the flowers springtime, or when the hand of winter makes the hills a snowy place. It could be any season, but I just can't help believing any moment we could sail away. Thank you. just like a baby eagle caged in prison, just growing, waiting for the day I hear that name you cry. Then these chains will break that bind me, and my wings will start a flying past the highest star to meet him in the clouds. He may come with the flowers in the springtime, or when the hand of winter makes the hills a snowy place. It could be season, but I just can't help believing any moment we could sail away. It could be any season, but I just can't help believing any moment we could sail away.